Father, have your will and way, Lord God, in every word I say, Father. Use me, Lord, for your glory and honor and praise. It was hot and intense. It was 1992. It was the Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. There was one runner who was doing a 400-meter race. His name was Derek Redmond, and he was an Englishman. And he had trained for years to be in the Olympics. And he was finally there. He was so excited. He was finally there. Well, in one of the heats, the qualifying races, he was sprinting. He was going. And suddenly, a hamstring just hit, and he fell to the ground. He just crumbled there in agony, in pain, in shock. Couldn't believe this. He's at the Olympics. But he was determined to go. He got up, and he just hobbled and limped towards that finish line. But something amazing happened. His father had been watching the race, and he scaled the retaining wall, jumped over it onto the tracks, and ran for his son before anyone even knew what was going on. And he reached his son, and the young runner was able to hold on to his father, lean against his father, and together they went towards the finish line. And the entire crowd stood and cheered for those two men. When they crossed the finish line, it was like the runner, the father, and the spectators had all done the race together. And did you know that you too are in a race? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are in the race of faith. It's actually not a race. It's actually like an ultra marathon. I looked that up. It's like specified really long distance. And it takes a really long time to get there. Or even, get this one, Rogaine. Have you heard of that? Rogaining. It's a long distance sport that's cross-country navigation that involves routes and navigation and endurance, but actually we're in a ultra Rogaine. So I have a 2-minute video that I'm going to show you. It shares scripture about this word picture of a race.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
I was told I speak really loud, so I don't want to break your eardrum, so I pushed this thing back. So if I'm too low now, let me know. So let's look at that scripture that we read today, Hebrews 12. The writer of Hebrews encourages the believers there in Jerusalem there to run the race. He was writing to Jewish believers who had saving faith in Jesus as Messiah, but they were turning back. They were turning away from the faith because to them it seemed like the new covenant Jesus was insufficient for them, and especially in light of persecution. So they were turning back. So the writer of Hebrew writes to them and gives them this word picture about it's a race. It's an ultra marathon. And of course, this was a common thing because they knew the Greeks. The Greeks were among them, and they knew about, you know, Olympic races and that kind of thing. So he tells them not just to run, but he tells them, let us run. So he includes himself as a runner. And I want to say to us, you know, we're not alone. When we run this race, we're not alone. Look around you, right? When we go to Christian events, they're filled, thank God, lots of different faces, lots of different cultures. It's a big group that's running. And for me, that gives me like some assurance. I know my boys say the same thing when they see those big events and they see so many Christians. It's nice, Mom, to know that we're not the only ones running in this race. Yeah, we're not. If you have started on the Christian way and the race that's set before you, think of it like this. You're an athlete. If you're not an athlete, you're now an athlete. And when you receive Jesus, he equips you and he readies you for the race. It's like instant skill and training you got when you receive Jesus as Savior. You're ready. You can do this. You're ready for the race. You're just going to be looking onto him. J. Vernon McGee said, the Christian life is likened to a Greek race. Christ is the way to God. Along the way, a Christian is also a soldier. And he's to stand. As a believer, he's to walk. As an athlete, he's to run. And one day, he will fly. Because we're going to fly to heaven. So before starting that word picture, the writer directs us to the spectators that were watching from the stands, the arena. Okay, there are always spectators in big events, right? There are those who are watching eagerly and hope for their loved ones. And then there are those that are just come to see the event, you know, see the good performance, see the extraordinary mastery of some sport or something, or even to come see a record being broken. The Bible says that we have a great multitude of onlookers looking down from heaven at us. And he calls them a great cloud of witnesses. So we read about some of those, Jephthah, Barak, and all that. But I know you guys can tell me a couple more. So can you tell me a couple more that were not included in that list that we read? Come on, so easy. Shout it out. Anybody? Yeah. There are more in that cloud of witnesses that have gone before us to heaven that were not mentioned in that list of Barak and Jephthah and Gideon. So give me a couple more. Elijah. Another one? One more? Joseph, the story of Mary and Joseph, right? Yeah, there's thousands of them that have gone before us. They've raced ahead, they have attained their crowns, and they are watching us from heaven. Watching what? Our race. See how we overcome sin. Watching us against the world, watching us against the enemy. They're watching you. A big crowd. And Spurgeon says, the race is worth running, for the eyes of the nations of them which are saved, that's that cloud, are fixed on us. Angels, principalities, powers, hosts, redeemed by the blood, they muster to behold the glorious spectacle of men agonizing for holiness and putting forth their utmost strength to copy the Lord Jesus. Wow. I thought to myself, have you ever thought that one through? Like, wow, they're watching us. How we do it here in the 21st century. Wow. So let us run, just like the Hebrews writer said. The Lord, he's our source and perfecter. He's with us, so don't lose heart. If it's getting tough, don't lose heart. He's with you. He's the originator of our faith, and he's cheering us on. After telling the multitude, about this multitude, the thousands of thousands, the writer says to us how to stay in the race. We are to lay aside every hindrance or encumbrance, anything that gets in the way, the thing that will trip us up or weigh us down. So let's throw off everything that hinders and weighs us down. And that's a picture of let's not run with all cares and anxieties and fears and sin and bad habits and addiction. The pace that we're called to run is quick. It's swift. It's daily. It's hourly. It's minute by minute. And if you've got those cares ensnaring you, you're going to fall, right? You're going to be doomed before it even starts. The picture is of those people in the Bible that had those long robes, you know, the men wore those robes, and if they wanted to run, they had to pull them up and then gird them, tie them, and then they could run above their knees or throw the whole coat off, you know, and then they were able to run. They didn't want the things to tangle their legs and cause a fall or worse. So in a race, that would be disastrous. It makes it harder and would make the race longer and painful. Because remember, it's a marathon. It's not a little sprint. Just, you know, it's a long haul. So being weighed down causes pain and failure. We must lay aside all worry, cares, anxieties, anger, greed, our own selfish desires. And we must strip down. You've seen those runners in today. I mean, they've got on the finest little shorts, and now they don't even have shirts. They have just like the bra top thing, you know? I mean, that's all they run with now. So strip down to the minimum gear that you can so that you're not slowed down by anything. The writer of Hebrews also alludes to a garment that we have on us that will surely twist about our legs and feet and throw us off balance. And this one we can't throw off. This one is the sin nature, right? It's a picture of our sin nature. The Lord Jesus takes away our sin, but guess what? The sin nature is not removed permanently. It's there. It's there to ensnare you. And we need to look to the Holy Spirit, God, to help us, to empower us to say no to sin. It could easily overtake us if we're not careful and yield to God and have him help us. So treat your natural-born tendencies like an old coat. Take it off. It's not suitable for runners for a heavenly race. Jesus died for our sin. You can't wear sin and win heaven. We need to confess sin, and Jesus, who he said he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Every kind of sin has to be watched against, has to be struggled against, has to be prayed against, has to be replaced even, and then overcome. sin shall not have dominion over you. And Spurgeon said this way, another picture. We hope to see all our tendencies to sin killed and buried. Buried so deep that even a bone of a sin shall not be left above ground. So this is what we need to be striving for. Throw off all the hindrances. Maybe you're thinking, really? Can we really do that? Come on. My son said, come on, Mom. Well, the disciples asked a similar question, and this is how Jesus answered them. He said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So even starting this race of faith is even beyond us, honestly. What of endurance that the passage talks about? Well, we have to totally rely on the Lord. We have to fall on grace and fall on God's power. The race which is set before us shows us, it showed me, my helplessness and my need for God. Apart from God, we can do nothing. And we can see our unfitness for the whole thing. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's our source and perfecter. Hebrews says, let us look to Jesus, or fix our eyes on Jesus. Looking onto Jesus, he's the one who's going to initiate and perfect our faith. The run is also called with perseverance. And not just, you don't just run any old way and anywhere. You are in a race that's marked out for you. And it's been appointed from before you were born. A lot of it is written down, good thing. But a lot of it you need to be in contact with God to know what it is he wants you to do and he's assigned for you to do. The way is is written down. Some of his commands are written down. Ways of trusting him, his faithfulness. I put in Dr. Seuss's little quote from Horton, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. And if we have come to Jesus, we've got to mean what we said and stick with it. It may seem tough, you know. It's going to be against yourself, because it's against your sin nature that you have on. But there is an answer. That little word, Jesus. He's the answer. It seems that the way, or it may feel hard, because the way is marked and the rules are so contrary to our nature, our old nature will fight against it. But that's even more reason to trust him and to fix our eyes on him. Keep on looking unto Jesus. But listen to this. This is the story of Roger Bannister. He became the first man in history in 1954 to run the mile in under 4 minutes. Within 2 months, another guy named Landy beat him because by 1.4 seconds. So in August of 54, they got together for a historic race. They said, let's see who is the fastest runner here. So they moved. They were running. They moved into the last lap, and Landy was in the lead. He was in the lead. But as he knew he was going to win. But the problem was his sin nature kicked in. And there was a question that just kept repeating in his head as he was running. And the question was, where's Bannister? So, as he neared the finish line, he looked to see where Bannister was. And as he turned to look, Bannister took the lead and won the race. And he later told Time magazine, if I hadn't looked back, I would have won. We need to keep looking to Jesus. Where should our eyes be in a race? Yeah. So what's the shortest distance between two lines, two spaces? What's the shortest distance? Straight. But you know what? Sometimes as runners, we're running around nilly-willy, all over the place, you know? And we're not looking to Jesus. We're all over the place. Keep your eyes on him, and he will get you through the race. He will keep you running. He will bring life. He will bring guidance. He will bring encouragement. He'll bring you joy. Wow. He'll blow all that discouragement, all that junk away so that you can focus and never stop. Well, to help us further, the Hebrew writer also describes four ways to look to Jesus as we race on into 2016 and beyond. The first one was, he's the pioneer and author of faith. Then he said, he's the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. He said also, he's the pattern for faith, for the race, and the prize, our reward. So we are to look to Jesus as that source, the author, the pioneer of our faith. Because if you have not looked at Jesus as that source, you're going to be disqualified right off the bat. All the running you're doing is in vain. What's the purpose of running if you're going to be disqualified? You must begin, faith begins with Jesus, trusting him completely for all that he did, all that he did for you, for dying on the cross, taking that sin. You've got to trust him. And he did it all for the joy set before him. He endured that cross, the shame. God the Son paid a horrible price, right? By enduring the suffering, the shame, the ridicule, the torture, all for you. And you've got to believe that. You've got to own that as yours. Your sin unforgiven will leave you enduring punishment in the lake of fire. You must get a view of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, or else you're not started on this heavenly race. Your own righteousness, your own efforts to please God, you know, I'll do it my way if I do this, or if I get it together, they're false starts on this race. They'll disqualify you right from the start. Looking unto Jesus, the Greek word looking or fixing adds something that we don't have in the English language. It adds a turning away or a looking away element to it. So as we look to him, we're to look away from everything else and just look to the Savior. Fixing your eyes anywhere else, even on heavenly things like angels, you know, and the that crowd of witnesses, is going to take you away from your focus on Jesus and eventually will take you off the path. Remember what happened to Landy, so don't even look at what you've even laid aside. Looking unto Jesus means you read and reread about his life. You look into the scriptures for his heart, for his mind, for his answers for you. You delve into it, what he's won for you, what he did. Eugene Peterson says, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through for you. So go through it over and over. He's the Alpha and the Omega, our beginning and end. We need to look to Jesus as the perfecter and finisher too. Just as he starts it, he finishes it. He's the end of the course. And we've got to keep looking along the whole course until we reach the finish. And he's there throughout the whole entire course. The Bible says he is never going to leave you. He will never abandon you. And he endured it all, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have all the rewards that Jesus gets because he's finished the race. So we get heaven because he's in heaven. We get to rule over angels because he rules over angels. He's finished so that we can finish. That's comforting to me. I don't know about you guys, but that's like, wow, okay, I can do this because he's already done it and he's going to be with me no matter what throughout the whole thing. When he was on earth, we see his manhood, his servanthood, his being born, having set aside all that glory. We see him placed in that little manger when we just did Christmas. We see him living in poverty. We see him dying like a criminal. But up in heaven, it's a different story. We see adoration. We see glory. We see the one, the only one who's worthy to open up the scrolls and the seals. We see him clothed in power and authority and majesty, the ultimate overcomer. That's who we see when he's in heaven. And it'll help us to see him there and what he's done so that we can continue on in the race. For those of you in the middle of the marathon race, remember, Jesus sustains you. Sometimes I cry that out to him. Boy, Lord, I need your sustaining power because we can't make it. He sustains you and he advocates for you. So it's not only good to meditate on what he's done for you, but what he's still doing for you from heaven right now. So he's for you. And as we continue looking to him, you know, we're strengthened. We're fortified. We can take more deep breaths. Continue going. You know, get our second winds and just continue going. The perseverance of the saints, that's us, the runners, consists of new beginnings. And what does the Bible say? Every morning we have new beginnings. Every morning our mercies are new. Praise God for that. So keep your eyes on Jesus. He keeps us going in the correct direction. And when the race is over, Jesus will appear, and he's going to be the finisher. What is he going to come? Forward to greet you. What's he going to say? Well done, good and faithful servant. And you get crowns. Not just one. You can get more than one. He's the finisher. He's going to be there. And he's our example. How did he run? For the joy set before him. So that's our motive. Remember that, I don't know if you guys do the Westminster Catechism, but what's the ultimate goal of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's it. That should be our motivation too. As we're running this race, that's our motivation. Oh, I'm going to glorify you, God. I don't even know how I'm going to do it. You're going to have to help me do it, but I'm going to glorify you and serve him. How do we serve him? Well, the will of God is for every single person to be saved and sanctified. That's his will. So if you've got family who still don't know him, share some knowledge. Share some knowledge. Bring them to the Savior. Share the Good Shepherd. And hopefully they also will come into that race. Patterning ourselves after Jesus, we copy his endurance and persistence. He took the cross willingly, patiently, not rebelliously. And he didn't relinquish it until it was finished, till the end. And you know, I know for me, I could start well, but finishing is really tough. And I have to cry out, we can finish till the end. So let us take up our cross and imitate our Lord and go through severe circumstances that are set before us. And count it joy if you're persecuted. That's what the Bible says. If you're persecuted for right thinking, godly ways, for doing the right thing when nobody else is, count it joy. You can jump up. I had to do that one time just so that I could feel it because it didn't feel it. But yeah, count it joy, the Lord says. Don't live in a fog of doubt and fears. Fix your eyes on him and he'll become clearer and clearer. That reminded me of that song, Godspell song, Day by Day. You guys know that? Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly, day by day by day. So as we continue to look unto Jesus, guess what? He transforms us. I think that's so amazing. And he imprints his image, his photograph, on us. Because the Bible says when we're there, we're going to be just like him. Praise God for that. So run so that you can obtain the prize. Discipline yourselves. Seek him. Fellowship with him. He's not far away. We don't see him anymore in bodily form, of course. I always have to tell the kids that. But he's here with us in spirit. And remember Derek Redmond from our story, right? His father scaled the wall, came down, and was there to help him with the finish line. We've got that everlasting father, too, who's going to help us to the very end. I have a song, but I don't know if we're going to do the song. It's probably not going, right? We'll see. Okay, let's see if we can get the song. Thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are the author and the source and the perfecter and the one who sustains us. Help us to pattern ourselves, Lord, after you, Lord God, and help us to fix our eyes on you, Lord. If there's anyone here, Lord, who yet has not entered the race, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will meet the questions, Lord, the cravings that they have, Lord God, and just satisfy them, Lord, and bring them to yourself, Father. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for all you're doing and you're going to do, Lord, through 2016 and beyond, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.